know that.
Hey, welcome to Farthest Galaxy Star Wars Podcast. I'm your local scruffy looking nerd hunter. As always, I'm joined by Jedi Master Alex.
Hey.
This week we're going to be covering the Marvel comic Obi-Wan and Anakin because we mixed up our timelines with Mace Windu and Obi-Wan, mostly me. So we're going to be... retcon Mace Windu.
Put Obi-Wan in front of it. It's not really a retcon.
It's a retcon for me. Retcon Mace Windu. Put Obi-Wan there, and then listen to Mace Windu right after this for your timeline.
Okay.
Just to let it out there. But before we get to that, we're going to talk about some news. We got 3 bits of Star Wars news and 1 bit of Matrix news.
Why not? Matrix.
So, we'll start off with the LEGO Star Wars Holiday Halloween special, just because we already know about it, and we just got a trailer for it officially. Mm-hmm. Looks pretty good.
It looks really funny,
it's coming out October 1st.
I mean, the LEGO stuff's always cute.
Yeah.
You gotta love it.
And... there's a Shining reference. Tony Hale is the Palpatine quotes character.
Yeah.
And we have an animatronic Darth Vader, and it just looks like fun.
Yeah, it looks like it'll be a good time. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing it.
And we get some Knights of Ren content.
We're actually going to see, like, isn't it fucked up that the Ren, in his first, like, animated appearance.
A live action appearance.
Voiced appearance. Yeah.
It's a Lego
thing. Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
It's a little crazy.
That's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, I think it's
you know what would be cool? A Clone Wars style show set after Episode 9.
That would be interesting.
That's something that I think I'd like to see.
Because we got Resistance, which was set before.
Yeah, but it's so, like, ugly.
It's more kiddie.
It's, like, mad ugly.
I think if with the way Filoni's going, if he keeps this up with Bad Batch, I wouldn't be surprised if we get more stuff into the further reaches.
I feel like we need to see more, you know?
Well,
like,
with the Finn show, we might be able to see a lot more.
Apparently the Finn show, like, there was a rumor, I didn't actually put this in the news, but I was watching, it was either Den of Nerds or Nerd Theory or whatever it was, and I think it was Josh more or less confirmed. He was like, the Finn show is gonna happen, it's totally coming, but, you know,
that could be
it's still speculation for me and you, because... Yeah. We don't know sources. We don't know shit.
Yeah,
we're just out here watching YouTube videos.
He might not be able to reveal
his
sources.
He's a guy who says he's got sources. I like to go out here and be like, I think I can trust what he's saying on some stuff.
Seems pretty genuine.
Yeah, he seems like he knows actual people that might have this information.
He knows the Steve.
But coming from us, it is still speculation, but very much more so there is credence going into this rumor.
Yeah, because we hear it from someone who has a source. Mm-hmm. Whether or not his is factual, we blame him if we're wrong.
I mean, the speculation has to be coming from somewhere, right?
Yeah, it's not
and
just
these rumors
going,
aren't
here
just like, oh, yeah, Finn show.
Yeah, so hopefully, fingers crossed, that happens as well.
That'd be cool.
But with the LEGO thing, yeah, I really hope that we do get more expanded content besides LEGO stuff. Because after Episode 9, we have no content besides the LEGO Holiday Special and then this. Which aren't really canon, even though I like to think they are.
I totally want to think that the LEGO Holiday Special is canon, because that means that somewhere in another universe, 3 live-action Obi-Wans came together at the same time and all said hello there.
Hello there, hello there, hello there.
I mean, imagine that in live-action.
We might see it.
The half of Darth Maul on the sands of Tatooine trying to fight. It was ridiculous.
We'll likely see Obi-Wan content heavy, obviously, in the Kenobi show, but I think we'll get like Clone Wars Obi-Wan content.
Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Hey, man. We've seen Hayden suit up. He looks fucking
any
cool.
Kenobi content's good. This comic was really good that we
read. Yeah, man. This is just pure Obi-Wan Kenobi love.
Pretty much.
It's all Charles Soule was
mostly.
Like, he was like, here's all the
it's
Kenobi.
Like, what if Obi-Wan was really cool?
Anakin's, like, whiny the whole time, but he's also, like, 12.
Yeah.
And then Palpatine's being a big creep.
I think he's, yeah, he is 12.
Yeah. And then Palpatine's being a big creep, and
he's
then
like,
Obi-Wan's like,
boy.
I'm the fucking coolest.
And Obi-Wan's like, look how sweet I am. And Anakin's like, look how sweet he is. Like, I love this. Because Anakin's still a kid, kind of, so.
Maybe we'll get to that soon. Yes. Next, we got the KOTOR remake.
Oh, my God, dude.
So, we got a, what was it, the PlayStation Showcase.
Yeah, the PlayStation Showcase.
Thursday at, like, 4 p.m. it started. Mm-hmm. It was, like, 40 minutes or so. And they basically open up with the logo, Revan, and, like, some of the, like, an opening cutscene, right?
What they opened up with, because I saw a lot of people in the comments when they saw the Lucasfilm games, mm-hmm. they were like, oh my god, it's Jedi Fallen Order 2, right?
Yeah.
And, but us real KOTOR fans, we heard Basta Lashan, you can tell it's
the
her voice, and she's just speaking in general. And the second you hear her voice, you're like, this is Knights of the Old Republic. It's either SWTOR or it's KOTOR, because I think she also voices like her descendant or whatever, Satil Shan. So you're like, which one is it? And then you start seeing the hooded figure walk forward. And immediately, I was like, that's Revan. I was like, it's totally Revan. And she's talking about the Sith and how they must be. And this is like a speech that she literally like gave in the original game. So sitting there listening to this, I had my headphones on. I was literally like, I had to like cover my mouth because I wanted to scream in the office. I wanted to be like, oh my fucking God, they're remaking KOTOR. And then you see him ignite the lightsaber, right? And it lights up his robes. And for me, I was like 100% dead on confirmed at that point. It's Revan. Most people, they fucking shit their pants when he holds it up to his face. I'm like, I could tell from the fucking robes. I just know what this dude looks like. I was so excited to see this. And they did like a little interview thing after the showcase, and they said it's pretty much like a ground up remake. It's coming out for the PS5 and for PC.
So it's
kind of funny that it's not coming to Xbox,
which is where the original one dropped.
Maybe it's a timed exclusive, but it did say in the trailer it was made for PS5,
which is crazy.
We'll see what happens with that.
I cannot believe we're gonna get a Mass Effect Star Wars game.
Yeah, I'm excited.
We have the pilot simulator, we have the Dark Souls game, and we have the third person shooter. Now we just need the Mass Effect game,
dude.
That's what this is gonna be.
Well, when Mass Effect, because the Mass Effect trilogy got released again, right?
Yeah.
I was so excited, and I was thinking, now all we need is a game like this, but for Star Wars. And now that we're getting the original game from BioWare, it's being made by Aspyr now, but they've done all the ports and stuff, so I'm behind them on doing it because they've like literally been putting these games out again.
Like
this
Fantasy
is huge
remake,
for me. I mean,
ground up, totally different. It might not be Sephiroth resetting his saves. Revan resetting his save.
Might not be that.
But
it's probably going to be an actual like remake of the game.
Yeah, because I played on mobile for like a couple hours, and I was just like, this is tough. Just slog through, because the controls on the phone are really annoying.
It's not
the
great.
PC might be a little bit better, or the Xbox might be a little bit better.
I'm sure the PC is probably the
making
best
it
way
for
to
a
play.
Controller. Oof,
yeah, that's
gonna be good.
That's gonna be a really good time. They said they wanted to remain faithful to kind of how it plays too. So I guess we'll see what that's like.
I mean, we can play like World of Warcraft or like Final Fantasy.
Yeah, 14. I don't really have an issue. For me, it's
as long as the controls are good.
I've come to the like conclusion that for me, this is the best Star Wars game.
Wow.
Yeah, I really enjoyed playing the game because I think it introduced a lot of cool themes and ideas, and it puts you in that universe without being like, here's Darth Vader, here's Luke Skywalker, here's Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're like way early. They're like, here's a bunch of characters you don't fucking know, and they're all cool.
Which adds
except for Karth. Karth's weird.
It adds credence to the Taika's making a KOTOR movie or SWTOR movie.
I would love that.
Because it's around the same time. They're going to announce something in the next couple months.
Keanu Reeves would make a great Revan.
Keanu Reeves would make a great older Revan. I don't think he'd be able to pull off young Revan now.
Revan.
Don't you play Revan?
You do. Spoiler for everybody that doesn't know that twist,
oh,
I guess.
Come on.
Yeah.
That's the oldest twist in the book.
There's a lot of people who never played the game. They just heard how great it is. Yeah. And that's why I'm also kind of happy that this game is getting a remake, because now people are actually going to get to experience this that never got to do that.
So, question. KOTOR never had a sequel, but SWTOR 1 and 2 are like spiritual successors? Or is
KOTOR,
there a KOTOR
does have a sequel.
So it's KOTOR,
I'm playing
KOTOR.
It right, like right now.
So it's KOTOR, KOTOR 2, SWTOR.
Yeah.
There's no SWTOR 2. It's just SWTOR with all
the
expansions.
SWTOR is an online game that you can literally play for free right now.
Yeah. So KOTOR is the Revan where you're Revan.
It's
What's the
Revan.
Second one about?
The second one is...
Are you playing as Revan again?
No, it's another where you make a character, but there is a canonical character. Her name is Mitra Surik, and she was one of the Jedi who defected with Revan during the time of the Mandalorian Wars, because she felt that it was something that they had to do, they had to fight. And then at the end of the war, she just disappeared, or midway through the war, she disappeared. I'm not like super far into the game yet where I really have all the details, but that's what I got out of it so far. And you're being chased by like three Sith Lords. Revan's gone missing. It's cool. They actually give you dialogue choices where someone's like, oh, well, Revan was a woman. And you could be like, well, I think actually Revan was a man. And they're like, well, it doesn't matter anyway because they're gone now.
Yeah.
I'm like, great.
Because you can choose which one you play as.
Yeah.
But I believe Revan is canonically
a man. And he looks like Keanu Reeves.
Unless they switch it up for the movies and make it a woman. And make it Tessa Thompson, because that's a Taika move.
That would just be weird. I think a lot of people would be upset with that. For me, Revan is just kind of this character who is.
Yeah.
I don't think that it needs to be male or female specifically. As long as they have the robes and the mask.
So is Revan canonically a good guy or a bad guy?
Revan...
Because I know you can choose.
Revan was a Jedi who defected from the Order with a bunch of other Jedi during the Mandalorian Wars because they felt they needed to help. Mm-hmm. And the Jedi Council was like, well, we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
That's like what that's Obi-Wan like not did for us. Yeah. So Revan and his apprentice Malak, they were like, we're getting out of here.
Malak was his apprentice?
Yeah.
I thought Malak was... I thought it was the other way around.
No, Malak was Revan's apprentice. And everyone referred to Revan. He was like... of a rush of force. They were like, this guy was just so powerful and crazy.
He was like Zesh.
He was like ridiculous, you know. It was kind of crazy, the stuff that he would do. So they went to a temple, apparently. It was a Rakatan temple left behind. And him and Malak went in there, and they learned about the Star Forge, and apparently it, like, changed their perception, you know, their dark side technology, whatever. Rubbed off on Revan and Malak. They went to Korriban, and learned about the Sith, and they started looking for the Star Forge and all this, and they became Sith Lords through this journey, and it was when they were rebuilding their fleet and getting really strong that Malak turned on Revan.
And knocked him out.
And yeah, he like tried to defeat him or whatever, and then Bastila shows up, and she's there for that situation, and basically on the Council's orders, they're like, apprehend Revan and erase his memories. So we can
get him back in because he's
so that we can try and turn him back to the Jedi.
Okay.
And throughout the course of the game, things happen. You know, you can choose to be a good guy or a bad guy. Obviously, if you're a bad guy, they come the end of the game, they're like, we knew we could never truly break you, but we had to try, you know. But if you're a good guy, they're like, we proved that there was good in you, Revan, even if you do know your past now.
So what is the real answer? Is he a good guy or is he a bad guy?
Ultimately, he is a Jedi. He's a good guy.
Okay.
You know, when the canon thing is that he would ultimately have turned back to the light and gone on his journey to try and root out the rest of the Sith or whatever.
Because I know there's white robes, Revan.
Yeah.
Okay.
That would basically be during the time of KOTOR, which it's weird because you don't even get to wear that outfit in the entire game.
That sucks.
Isn't that whack? So I think that's one of the things they're going to let you do in the remake is get to have your Revan outfit.
There will probably be expanded content for this game.
I don't really care as far as expansions.
Oh, I mean, like,
I'm just happy to be getting
game.
The game, you know. Maybe I'm hoping that if they're saying it's like a from the ground up remake with like just similar combat and stuff, I would hope that they're going to be adding things, not just making it like a 1-to-1.
They'll modernize
it's like,
a lot of
but
it.
Don't take anything away. Just add more, you know. It's like put more shit in because you can do so much more with the environments and things now.
Yeah, so I'm interested to see that for sure.
Oh, dude, you got to play this game.
Well, now I can just wait. I have it on my phone. I play it every once in a while for like 10 minutes, and I'm like, oh. But if it's coming out fully remastered, dude, I'll just wait for that.
I'm so excited.
Do you think they'll make KOTOR 2?
I think if this first game does well enough, if it makes enough money, then they'll have a reason to.
Yeah.
Right? Because not for nothing, this is a gamble for both Sony and Aspyr.
I feel like it's not.
Because Aspyr was like, we want to do this, right? And Sony's like, well, there seems to be a following. Everyone and their mother online says they want this. So if we make it, is it going
to
sell well?
They also need Disney's
you know?
Permission, too.
I mean, this
so
is
if
this
Disney's
is a leap
letting
of faith.
It happen, it means it's canon.
Yeah, if
again.
Disney's like, fine, we'll green light this. You can do this. This is okay. But
it's canon.
This is a gamble, you know? It's like, who's going to show out? Is it going to be all the KOTOR fans?
It's
kind of
like Fallen Order. Fallen
or
Order
is it
going to
be everybody who sees that this game looks cool and all the Star Wars fans are going to be like, that's something we want to play, right?
And what's the coolest thing about it is
tons
right
of
now,
people that never played it.
That game will be the earliest in the timeline that we can play.
Yeah.
Because obviously it was before.
Mm-hmm.
So people might get into it and go, well, now I can start this, learn about the deep lore of the Jedi, and then go watch all the movies again. So maybe even the fans will go, the non-fans will go, this is a good jumping on point if I'm a video game player, if I'm a gamer.
Because KOTOR takes place in its time. The second one takes place like a few years later.
Mm-hmm.
And then SWTOR is like 200 years later or something like that.
Dude, there's a bunch of content for SWTOR.
I know
they're
there
still
is.
Updating it.
I want to play it. That's the main reason I want to get my PC at home.
You just want to play SWTOR?
I just
want to
play SWTOR all day. Goodbye, PS5. It's been real. Time to play this game that came out in 2011, I think.
When I get my own place and I get a PC, I'll play SWTOR with you.
I'm ready for it, dude. I'll power level you because I'll be Grandmaster Jedi at that time.
All right, let's move on to the last little bit of Star Wars news before we talk about The Matrix. So Grogu is going to appear in the Macy's Day Thanksgiving Parade with a Funko-inspired float. Funko-inspired float.
That's cute.
He's floating over there, and then the ball that the Mandalorian unscrews, the little nozzle, the lever thing.
Oh, dude, I want to see that. Is that is there like
you can go to the Funko concept. Website and Funko on Instagram, and they showed off what the pop is gonna look like that it's based off of, because they're
Grogu Macy's Day Parade. That's adorable.
Yeah. Looks dope.
That is so cool. Everyone who's listening to this podcast, go into Google and type in Grogu Macy's Day Parade.
They're also releasing it.
Oh, I'm gonna have to get that.
He's floating around.
That's cute.
And then they have the regular one where he's touching the ball.
Man, anybody who doesn't like Grogu is just miserable.
Like, they even have a T-shirt that says Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade Grogu. They have a bunch of merch. They're balling out for this.
I just want the pop.
Yeah, the floating one. The
pop's cool.
It's very adorable.
All right. So aside from that, because that wasn't really much anything.
Nah, just a little bit.
And this is not Star Wars, but it's cool. The Matrix 4 got a trailer.
Resurrection.
It's gonna be sick.
Keanu Reeves is in it.
I don't want to say too much about it because it's not Star Wars, but it's
fucking crazy.
It is pretty cool.
We have to rewatch The Matrix. I gotta watch the first one again. I haven't seen it since I was like 10.
Funny insight for everybody who's listening. We have to rewatch all of the Daniel... Actually, you have to watch for the first time like a majority of the Daniel Craig Bond films.
I've only seen Skyfall.
Because the new one looks sick. And we're like, we want to see that. And we also have to rewatch the entire Matrix trilogy because this new one looks sick and we want to see that.
We also, if we just go in blind, it's going to be more confusing. Or it might be less confusing, honestly.
Really? Honestly? Or just be like, what do you remember from the end of the third movie? Nothing good. Yeah, okay, here we go. Matrix 4.
Here's that 20-minute robot fight.
Yeah. 40 minutes. Oh, 6 hours later. I thought you said it was 40 minutes. It's still going, so
I
whatever.
I wish it was 40 minutes. All right, so that's the bit of news we got for Star Wars and The Matrix 4.
Yeah.
So let's hop into our, I would say, store pick of the week. Ugh, two podcasts crossing over. Our topic of the week, talking about Obi-Wan and Anakin. I'll go over the publication history. So, Star Wars Obi-Wan and Anakin is a canon 5-issue comic book miniseries written by Charles Soule with illustrations by Marco Shishetto. Beautiful artist, check it out. In 2016, the comics are set 3 years after, it was three, The Phantom Menace, so he's what?
He's 12.
He's 12. Okay,
yeah, he was 9 in Phantom Menace.
And focuses on Jedi Knight Obi-Wan Kenobi and his Padawan Anakin as they explore the plan of Carnelian?
Yeah, Carnelian 4.
Carnelian 7, never heard of Yavin 4.
Carnelian 7.
To answer a mysterious distress call. The series also features flashbacks scattered across every issue that detail the beginning of Anakin's trust towards Chancellor Chad Sheev Palpatine.
And that was taken from Wikipedia.
We take everything from Wikipedia.
Except for all the shit that I wrote here today, which I might actually just kind of like brush through.
Do what you gotta do, my dude.
I'm really feeling it. All right. So the comic opens with Obi-Wan and Anakin crash landing on the planet Carnelian 4 because there's an asteroid field surrounding the planet. But they did good enough not to crash and die, at least. They just crashed. It's okay, though. So Anakin is informed by Obi-Wan that the asteroid field is one of two reasons people steer away from the planet. The other one is that it's a wasteland due to a civil war that they had held
there. It's like Mad Max.
Yeah, it's not a good sitch.
Yeah.
So Anakin, he asks Obi-Wan why the Republic allowed the destruction on the planet, at which point Obi-Wan tells him this wasn't a Republic world, so they didn't have anything of real value.
Mm-hmm.
And the Republic's like, whatever, not our problem, we're not dealing
They're
with
They're very that. Primitive, too. It's really cool to see. We'll get to it. I have a cool thing I want to mention with Obi-Wan.
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot of cool stuff in this comic. Yeah. I should preface this by saying this was one of my favorite, if not my favorite comic that we've read so far.
It's not just because it's Obi-Wan Kenobi.
No, it was actually just a really good comic. So I would recommend, more so than usual, anybody who listens to this podcast and finds this interesting to read this one. Because it is
really And it's good. Canon.
It is canon.
As opposed to us just saying it is.
Yeah, it's not just us having empty promises and hopes.
Hey man, Dawn of the Jedi could be canon.
Yeah, so Anakin continues to press Obi-Wan why the Jedi didn't help, and he says, you know, the Jedi are at the mercy of the Senate, and they're not an army, but they're teachers who can offer guidance on how they can help. They're not supposed to interfere, though, without giving a reason to do so.
Yeah.
He tells Anakin this is the system of the galaxy, and Anakin says it should change, and Obi-Wan actually agrees with him, so that's nice.
Obi-Wan's always pretty much in agreement with Anakin, at least up to a certain point.
He's not looking to argue with the kid too much. Yeah. He just wants him to, like, focus on being a Jedi. So Anakin and Obi-Wan discuss their purpose on the planet to find someone who sent a distress call seeking Jedi aid. At this point, they discover an airship of sorts crashing down in the mountain of the planet that they thought to be dead. Before heading to help, Obi-Wan offers Anakin his lightsaber, to which Anakin responds he was serious about leaving the Jedi Order.
What? He's really, 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 really serious.
He's so serious. But Obi-Wan insists he take it as he can't leave the order if he isn't alive to do so. So we had talked about this. I am going to just jump into the flashbacks.
Because
we're already here. So This story is intercut with flashbacks that basically explain the circumstance of why they're on this mission together and why Anakin is acting the way he is, because, as I just said, he wants to leave the Jedi Order.
Yeah.
In a flashback on Coruscant, just prior to the mission, Anakin is training with a saber against a training droid as Palpatine, Mace Windu, and Obi-Wan watch from the balcony. Anakin notices them watching and activates a Darth Maul program in the droid to show off his skills.
He's flexing!
Yeah, man, he's like, I could have killed Darth Maul, you want to see me do it?
Look at me go!
It's gonna be pretty sweet. Windu questions Obi-Wan about it, and he responds he merely thought Anakin was only questioning him about the Sith Lord, but never expected him to do something like this. But Palpatine's like, that's dope as fuck, and y'all should think it's cool. He's like that.
It is.
He actually says it's impressive.
Most impressive.
Most impressive.
When he said impressive, I was like, this dude.
Yeah. So Anakin defeats the droid, and Palpatine thinks he's impressive. However, two Padawans start making fun of Anakin for being a slave to his emotions.
Haha, you're a slave and a slave to your emotions.
Yeah.
I'm like, whoa, dude. Well,
Anakin hears Jedi the word bullying. Slave, and he just tweaks out. He literally grabs the other two kids' lightsabers and ignites them in front of their faces. He's like, I'll just kill you.
And then he goes, I'm sorry I scared you.
But Obi-Wan rushes in to stop him, and Anakin apologizes to the other kids, realizing that he was kind of getting a little crazy, and he returns their lightsabers. Palpatine tells Windu he feels a special connection to the boy. Weird. And could possibly offer.
Well, because maybe he's the Force Daddy.
He is the Force Daddy. I think it's from the Plagueis novel.
No, there's actually a.
Oh, right. Art.
It's in one of the comics.
Yeah, the Darth Vader comic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're like, this is a thing, and you're like,
he's having all the dark side Force visions, but then the guy who wrote it, he was like, the dark side's an unreliable narrator. I'm like, well, then why did you put it in the comic?
Why'd you put him next to Shmi pregnant?
Yeah. And I'm like, why are you like this?
who did this to you?
I'm like, why is Disney like this? Why can't you just do this? So Palpatine tells Windu he wants to act all weird on Anakin and could possibly offer him some help with taming his wild nature, but Windu insists Obi-Wan has everything well in hand. Palpatine then reminds the Jedi that they're under the Senate's jurisdiction, and he's the Chancellor, so he gets what he wants.
He does.
He's gotta. So out of the flashback, back on the planet, Anakin takes a saber from Obi-Wan, and the two climb up above the cloud, see an airship battle taking place. Two Jedi use the Force to slow one airship crashing towards the mountain they're standing on. Two females jump down from the ship to the Jedi. One female introduced herself as Kolara, and the other is Mother Pran. I thought it was her mother at first. But then I had to go back through this and edit the entire thing. And I was like, it's not her mother.
You're like her mom. No, it's a title.
It's like a title. Mm. So Mother Pran. Pran pulls two blasters on Anakin and Obi-Wan, asking if they're open or closed. You in the closet or not?
That's what I was like. Yeah. When I first read this back in the day, I was like, what the fuck?
I was like, is this like a gay thing? Open or closed?
Is this your ward or is this your boy?
your boy. These are the two factions on the planet, though, the open and the closed. And they never tell us the difference between them.
I think the open is the ones who are... they have ears, and the closed are the ones that have the ear slits. That's what I believe it is.
I did not even catch that as a detail. Here.
So, yeah, Kolara and Mother Pran have ears, and then the dude has, like gashes where his ears are. So I think it's an open and closed ear situation. I don't know if that's true, but a bunch of characters had no ears.
If that's the case, that's really dumb.
It's very stupid.
It's very stupid.
I also think it's technology-based, too. Because I think that the open are open to new ideas, and the closed are like, we want to do Mad Max. But I think it's the ear thing. I'll look it up real quick.
I mean, low-key... Whatever, we'll get to that part later on in the synopsis here. So she asks if they're open or closed, and Anakin responds they're answering a distress call for the Jedi's help. And Pran's like, what even is a Jedi?
And they're like, whoa, what is this?
That is not a real thing.
Yeah.
And that's the first issue.
Yeah, man. It's good stuff.
It was really good. I like the art that you get to see in it. The flashbacks are always... an appreciated bonus for me between Anakin and Obi-Wan, especially early in their relationship, because we didn't get to see a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I liked it a lot. How'd you feel about that first issue?
It was really good. It's a solid opening issue. It sets up the problem of we need to get off this planet, but also there's a civil war happening. Do we interfere as Jedi, or do we just do what we're supposed to do? And Obi-Wan's like, we just answered the distress call. These guys are fucked.
Yeah.
And Anakin's like, but. And Obi-Wan's like, no buts. And then he gets involved, because Obi-Wan always does. It's really cool.
I mean, Obi-Wan totally helps, though.
Barely.
He helped. Did you read the first issue?
Oh, here we go. Yeah, so the difference is the opens are humans, and the closed are near humans with three vertical slits inside of their ears.
Wow.
Instead of their ears, I'm sorry. That's apparently the only difference between them.
That's really dumb.
It is indeed very dumb.
Well, on that note, I guess we can jump into issue 2.
I can't believe Star Wars did a race war.
I kind of can.
I mean, yeah.
Dude, low-key, right. The Gungans and, like, the people of Naboo almost started a race war. He was like, you, Naboo, think you are better than us. I was like, damn, there's some serious themes going on here.
Nah, we don't talk about that.
No, we don't talk about the Gungans. We don't talk about that. Issue 2. A second airship still flying opens fire on the Jedi and the two women, and they all scurry to cover. Pran refers to the attackers as closed, because we just talked about this. He claims they won't stop hunting them until they've seen their corpses. Obi-Wan then disappears at shocking speed and reappears back atop the cliff facing down the airship.
He run fast.
Pran states he'll die doing this by himself, but Anakin claims he'll be fine as, and I quoted it, there is no one better. I was like, you're right, there is no one better. When I read that, I was like, this has to be in my synopsis. I was like, I can't leave that out. You're right, there is no one better. Thank you for realizing that, Anakin. So why you act like such a little prick when you get older?
Because he wants love. He finds out the other one is Padme, and he's like,
I haven't seen her since I was a young boy. Stop being weird, Anakin.
That's what would have been my first thought. When he rolls up, he's like, I'm so nervous. And I've been like, dude, you can't have emotions. Stop.
I would have been like, you know what? You wait downstairs. I'll handle this.
And you just kill Padme real quick and go,
kill Padme.
She's dead.
Oh, no. That wasn't very Jedi of you, Hunter Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I mean, if Anakin didn't meet her and they didn't have their weird little relationship right at the beginning of that, Padme would have gotten killed in the middle of the night by Jango Fett, who hired Sam Wessler, who hired a robot, who hired a worm to kill her.
Listen, I never said that those movies were the best written. I do love them a lot, right? Hey, man, but this whole idea of Anakin being like, I'm so nervous, I haven't seen Padme since I was a kid. And then Obi-Wan is like, we should totally send Anakin and Padme away to the romantic vacation house together.
Because Qui-Gon let him do it.
Yeah, but
Qui-Gon was literally like, yo, Satine.
He was like, he was just making that choice, you know? He didn't want them to fall in love. He literally says several times in the Clone Wars, he's like, you know, it's okay to have feelings like this, but
you can't act on
like,
them.
Don't.
Don't.
I mean, yeah. Just stop it. I mean,
cease all activity between your legs.
Cecil. Obi-Wan throws his lightsaber at the airship,
which is such a cool design.
It is.
The
shadow's
like,
sick.
It's so cool.
The entire comic, it just looks like a beautiful painting.
Dude, Marco knows what's up. He's doing Daredevil right now. It's really good.
So the airship gets crippled and then crashes, and as the ship descends, one of the passengers leaps toward the cliff where Anakin and the two women are, and Anakin helps the guy up. Pran yells that he just saved Grecker, one of the worst clothes, but Anakin claims he couldn't just let him fall.
Because that's not the Jedi way.
It's not what he does. He's a Jedi. He's got to be a good boy. Grecker and Pran then raise their blasters to each other with Anakin in the middle of them, and Obi-Wan gives Anakin permission to quickly slice the barrels off all four blasters, rendering them useless.
And they're like, what the fuck?
They're like, lame! So then they both pull out knives and attempt to stab each other. But their knives are taken away by Obi-Wan, who has his hood on, and he's standing on the high ground, and he looks like Gandalf, and he's just holding the knives in front of him, and he goes, enough!
Yeah, he goes, this is enough!
And I saw that, and I was like, yes! Because it was so good! I'm like, dude, they're just slow-stroking Obi-Wan fans.
That's what you texted me, and you were
right
like,
now.
Charles Soule is a big Obi-Wan fan, and I'm like, everyone is.
I'm like, they're just slow-stroking him right now.
Give him all love.
Obi-Wan questions why they're trying to kill each other, and both sides blame the other for the responsibility of the planet's destruction. It's at this point Obi-Wan decides to leave, but Grecker calls out the Jedi for leaving him to die.
And they're like, whoop.
Because right. Obi-Wan's like, this is lame. We helped you guys not die. Good luck.
This is big lame. I want to leave.
I was also thinking, are you guys really just going to leave these people without their airships on the side of a fucking frozen mountain?
And, yeah.
Grecker's like, yo, we'll die. So it's... He goes, they'll either freeze on the mountain or die crossing what's called the Celadon Sea, which is just like this gross, nasty, poison walkabout. It's horrible. Mm. It's not even like an ocean.
No.
Without weapons, Obi-Wan thinks for a minute because he's like, you're right. That would not be very Jedi.
Yeah, that wouldn't be very kosher.
And then he agrees to see them all to safety before continuing the mission they were sent to do.
Yeah.
Anakin comes up with the idea to rebuild one of the crashed airships to get them to their destination faster and safer. And then the Jedi speak of the distress signal they were sent to find, which surprises the natives as they believe all the planet's technology to be more or less inactive or destroyed. After hearing about this, Grecker, Pran, and Kalara just all of a sudden agree to work together to help put the airship back
together.
They're kind of
like, well, if we don't, we just die, so I guess.
Well, there's a motive behind it, that's why.
Well, yeah,
and they talk about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Grecker states the corpse leeches have noticed them, which are just these like nasty flying sucky boys.
Yeah.
But Obi-Wan senses they're near mindless and can be sent away with the Force, so he asks Anakin to try and do so.
And Anakin's like, I can't!
He's like, I can't do it! Obi-Wan's got like three of them sitting in front of him. He's like look, they're like boys. Dogs. Yeah, they're like, look, they're like his boys. But Anakin allows emotions to overtake his actions, and he cuts down the ones that are swarming him.
Yeah, he gets them. I was like, oof.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I killed him, and he's standing there all depressed. So that's when
I got killed.
It's like, oh, no, I'm big sad. We get another flashback to Coruscant now with Anakin reaching out with the Force, trying to calm one of the beasts in captivity.
And he cannot do it.
But all he can feel is the beast's anger. Obi-Wan gives Anakin some positive reinforcement, telling him that one day he'll learn the skill, but as of right now, he has an appointment he can't miss. Then we cut over to Palpatine's office, and inside, the Chancellor greets both Obi-Wan and Anakin before stealing Anakin away from his master for a few hours to join him in a trip to Coruscant's underworld.
Before this happens, I think Obi-Wan and Anakin, Obi-Wan and Yoda have a conversation about it.
Not yet.
Oh, no, it's Mace Windu has a conversation with Chancellor Palpatine in the first issue. Like, should we?
We talked.
Do you really
want to
see
this?
I spaced out.
For anybody who doesn't know, we had a bachelor party yesterday, and we're both a little bit tired.
Yeah, we're a little spacey.
We're a little bit tired right now, but we're doing our best here. So Anakin questions the safety of his trip with Palpatine, but Papa Palps assures him that this is a common occurrence in his life.
And also because Papa Palps is a secret Sith and could easily handle any of these guys if Anakin cannot.
Dude, he would, like, low-key murder everybody here.
And he would just erase his memory or whatever because Palpatine's powers are limitless.
He'd probably just be like, look how sweet I am. And Anakin be like, that was pretty sweet.
I can join you so young. You can join me so young.
You can be Darth Vader, but, like, at 13 or 12, whatever it is.
Apprentice Vader.
You could be a baby boy. You could be my baby boy. He explains to Anakin that people often forget the ongoings of the underworld, and it's his duty to disguise himself from time to time and do some good. What a fucking sleaze.
He sucks.
Such a shitbag.
Palpatine is the worst.
He's so bad.
He's like, trust me, we're not evil, I'm
the best, but also the worst. Back on the airship, now it's in the sky, because they just fix it, because Anakin's the best.
Yeah, Anakin's fixing technology, and Kalara's like, whoa, that's pretty awesome. Can you fix anything? Stuff. And then Mother Pran is like, can you fix this thing?
Fix my beans.
Fix the little ball.
Obi-Wan and Anakin actually discuss the behavior change between Pran and Grecker when they were informed of the Jedi's purpose on the planet. So they're like a little bit sus of that.
Well, because they heard like a distress call happen, and they're both like, we didn't do it, so it's got to be somebody.
Yeah, they're
who's
looking at each other
gifts.
Like, you do it? They're like, did you do it? They're like, no, this is finally that person. They're going to take us to
that
person
sky
who's
gifts.
Sending that out.
Yeah.
So, shit, where am I? Oh, here I am. They hope the momentary peace may bring a long-term understanding between the two groups. Anakin compares the open and the close to the Jedi and the Sith, but Obi-Wan simply states they will remain watchful of the situation, but he feels they are safe for the time being. We then see below the airship a race of seemingly primitive skeleton bug-looking people pointing at the airship. But
those
at this
are very
point,
similar
we
to
didn't,
the corpse leeches.
At this point, I didn't know what they were called when I wrote
you
this.
You that in the corpse leeches?
We come to find out later they're called fishers.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are they adjacent to the corpse people?
No, the corpse leeches are just like monsters, gross sucker monsters. The fishers are those actual like dudes with the hooks. Did you read the comic?
I did, but I don't remember everything, dude.
You know what it is? I was writing this stuff down while I was reading it, so it's like taking notes at school for me.
Yeah. I was reading it and just going, nice.
Got you.
This is cool.
It's a good thing that I read the comic then.
It's a good thing that you take notes.
Good thing, it's a good thing somebody was here for this.
I just read it and go, this is so cool.
I mean, even for the Force War stuff, I didn't take notes on that a lot.
No,
but
that was a lot of...
It was good.
We were able to explain that a little bit more so. There's a lot more going on. This one's just kind of like, oh, well, Anakin do stuff.
Anakin's
the other one was like, look at this fucking weird Jedi that nobody... What?
So that's issue two. We get to see the gross guys at the bottom. This issue...
They're gross bottom boys.
Gross bottom boys.
In the weird...
with their filthy booties.
The ocean.
In their weird Celadon Sea. They're on the way to Celadon City.
Yeah, because somebody's... both open and closed are blamed for poisoning the skies or the planet.
They blame each other for the war. They're like,
but
it's their fault.
Really, but from what I can gather, it's like generations of war. And they're just kind of like, we're just doing it now because that's what we were raised
it's like
on.
That, it's like that episode of Avatar. Where it's the two warring factions when they're going through the canyon,
yeah.
And they don't even know why they're fighting.
They're just doing it
and
because
then
they
Aang
were
literally
him.
Comes up with a bullshit story, and they're like, we buy that, because they don't know any better.
Yeah. Aang's like, oh.
Aang's like, I was like legit there. And they're like, cool, we believe you.
Well, because he's 100 years old. He's the Avatar.
It's
they're like, ah.
It's like they were brothers and they were playing like a little baby game. It's like, but in reality, these two people were like, it was like a war thing. And it probably totally was like a war thing. But Aang's like, they were baby boys. I'm like, look at you, Aang, lying to people and saving the world. One step at a time.
All right, back to Star Wars. So, Grecker asks Obi-Wan where the distress signal came from, to which Obi-Wan refuses to answer. Because he's like, I don't want to give away my secrets to these crazy people.
Oh, Pram, it's Pran.
Ah, whatever. Mother Pran. Then pulls Grecker's attention forward, and they see a box floating on the sky. Anakin asks if that's one of the sky gifts they're referring to, but Kallura responds that sky gifts are anything that crash lands onto the planet, and they cannot make anything on Corellia anymore. So
Corellia. Jesus Christ.
Carnelian.
Are you all right, man?
Carnelian.
Do you want me to keep reading
they're
it?
So similar.
Are you doing all right?
You can't tell me they don't look the same. It's like, there's mixed. Take out the N and mix around the words.
Dude, there's the word Carnelian. Like,
Corellia.
It's a very close. Different...
You can spell Corellia with all these letters, though.
No, you can't.
You can. Corilla. Corellia.
There are two L's in Corellia.
Oh, are they? I thought there was only one.
So you were wrong.
Yikes. Take one of those ends, chop it in half, stack it on top of each other.
Okay. That's fair.
Gregor then pulls the box into the airship and reveals a medallion of sorts within, at which point he throws the box and the medallion back out the window, and he's like, fuck that. Anakin questions Kallura why they're afraid of what it was. And she pulls out a similar medallion to the one Grecker threw away. Anakin admires the trinket's beauty and questions why Kallura isn't supposed to have it, and she just responds that they can't.
Yeah, that's she's it. Like, she's like, they say we're not supposed to. The adults are like, nah. If Mother Pran saw me with this, she'd throw me out the airship and shit. You know, she doesn't say that, but like low-key she probably would.
Mother Pran would be like, what? Like, did Grecker give you this? And then they fight each other with knives.
Yeah, are you closed?
God.
Put some holes in your... I'm going to put some holes
cut
in your
ears.
Cut
your ears off real quick. Anakin's flashback with Palpatine continues to club Kaskakar.
Kaskakar
in the Coruscant underworld at like 238.50 or something like that. It's like really, really low.
Yeah, it's a low.
I thought 1616 was like the lowest I've seen. It's like 2538. I was like, whoa, they're so far down. What? How big is this planet?
It probably just goes all the way through.
To the other side.
Yeah, to the other side. I mean... It probably stops at the core at some point, and then you take like a train around to the other side.
I wouldn't be surprised. There's no breaks.
The Coruscant Underworld. Dude, I wanted that fucking game to come out so bad.
Oh, 1313 where he plays Boba Fett?
Yeah, where it was going to be like a Boba Fett
Uncharted. I feel like we might still get that at some point. So Palpatine gets in Anakin's head, comparing their lives, telling the Padawan is envious that the Jedi makes all of his choices for him, whereas on a daily basis, Palpatine has to make hard choices. Because he's the Chancellor.
Yeah, because he's like, dude.
He's like the President.
He's like, I gotta make mad choices, and it sucks.
But he does it all. But what's bad about his thing is he doesn't just make one set of choices, he makes it two.
You know what's
he's controlling
you know
both sides.
What's bullshit about this is he literally becomes like King of the Galaxy.
At the end of it, yeah.
It's like, bro, you talking shit about having to make choices, right? You're like, you're so lucky you don't have to make choices. But I can't wait to be King of the Galaxy.
He's manipulating. He's manipulating Anakin by saying, if you do what I do, you can make choices. If you do what you do, you have to just listen. And that's not cool.
Yeah, well.
It's basically what it is.
Obviously, he's doing that. I just think it's funny.
Oh, for sure.
Because then imagine Anakin as Darth Vader later, like, I thought you didn't like responsibility.
I was lying to
that's,
you, boy.
That's what was going through my head when I read this part. He's like, oh, you know, I gotta make so many decisions all the time, and it's hard. I'm like, and then he becomes King. It's like, Anakin, hey, wait a minute.
Anakin begrudgingly says it's the best thing that ever happened to him because, you know, he was a slave. He goes, I was a slave, and then Qui-Gon found me, and I had a dad for like 3 hours, and then I had a brother, and that was pretty cool.
Yeah, he's like, I loved going and leaving my mom as a slave.
And then she dies in the next 5 years.
That was my favorite thing that happened in my life.
Palpatine informs Anakin that the club is full of scum and slave trading before apologizing for bringing up the topic. Anakin tries to brush it off unsuccessfully, and he questions why the Senate doesn't just shut down a place like this, but Palpatine points out a decent amount of the patrons are senators themselves, showing how deep the city's corruption goes, including one of the bankers.
They're all terrible.
Palpatine watches Senator Calandris, which is the banker that I just said, wrapped up in his own greed, losing credits on a bad roll, and begins bettling out in laughter.
Beddling, bro.
And it's because Anakin moves the dice, because Palpatine goes, you see, he's got a gambling addiction, and he'll go until he stops. Mm-hmm. If you you know, if someone were to use their force powers.
I don't think he did at that time. I think he just lost on a bad roll.
No, I think one of them.
Because it's when they get outside the club that he brings it up.
Yeah, because he's like, did you do that? And Anakin's like, no. I think Anakin did it or Palpatine did it.
I think Palpatine probably did it.
Just
to be like,
yeah,
like
look what
show
happens.
Him like, yeah. Oh look, this guy got all pissed off when he lost on a bad roll. It's like, could you do something like
bad
that?
Bad roll.
I don't think that's to say maybe they didn't do something like that.
I think one of them used the Force.
Yeah,
I think Palpatine asked Anakin, and Anakin goes maybe, but you said it could have been Palpatine too.
Yeah,
one of them does it.
It's not really entirely made clear.
Yeah. Palpatine plays it off as he and both Anakin leave the club. Outside, Palpatine asks if he could use the Force to change the outcome of a chance cube, and Anakin eagerly says he's the best Padawan to do it. So, yeah, he says right here. He's like, yeah, I could do it.
Yeah, when they get outside the club.
Yeah, because he goes, did you do it? And he's like, I probably
could. He's like, could you do it?
And he's like,
I could. But that doesn't mean he did it.
I think he did.
Because he doesn't even wink.
I think he did.
This is just you.
This is me winking. It's me making a difference.
This is you winking.
And Anakin eagerly says he's the best Padawan to do so. Palpatine smiles, and the flashback ends for now. Back on the airship, Obi-Wan discusses his relationship with Anakin with Grecker, and Anakin explains to Kallura what it is he and Obi-Wan do as Jedi. That's what it is. Those are my words.
Fix it. Okay.
Grecker, I just want to say Wrecker, expresses he is impressed by Anakin's skills as a young boy. And everyone's impressed with Anakin.
Dude, Anakin's
and begins
the best.
To discuss Anakin's potential with some angst in his tone. Grecker questions Obi-Wan's apprehension to training Anakin, and he says he swore to his master that he would do so. When Grecker raises the point that he doesn't sound happy about the situation, Obi-Wan expresses he is not disappointed in Anakin, but rather himself, as he may not be the master Anakin needs.
Big sad.
But he's the Anakin. He's the master Anakin wants.
Yeah. Anakin's like, oh, man, this guy's so cool.
Grecker reassures Obi-Wan thought that Anakin idolizes him, but Obi-Wan continues to protest that Anakin wants to leave the Order as he seeks more than what the Jedi offer him. He wants to act and asks questions that they cannot approve of. Grecker again pushes, asking if Obi-Wan will allow Anakin to leave, and he responds he's trying to get him to stay, else things get complicated. Because he's the chosen one and he's evil, and then he would become Palpatine's like lap boy. It'd be weird.
And some other stuff. But we'll get there.
Anakin and Kallura off to the side continue to discuss Anakin's proclivity. I thought it was productivity. I was like, what? Proclivity.
Very productive.
Proclivity towards fixing things, and Kallura calls Mother Pran over to show Anakin a broken central processing unit of a droid. Anakin fixes the pieces, and Mother Pran asks him if he'd be willing to fix more, as if it could save the course of the planet's life. Apologies, burping. Anakin agrees to do so, and both Kallura and Mother Pran excitedly begin discussing a plan in private to make a move of some kind when the time is right. Just then, the native people of the ground, called the Fishers, there they are.
Yep.
Begin to grapple and board the airship using hooks and ropes. Mother Pran tells Kallura that the time is now, and Kallura runs into Anakin's arms, asking him to protect her. Anakin prepares to cut the lines and fight the Fishers, but the lightsaber is taken from his belt by Kallura and is thrown out the window of the airship.
Yep.
Mother Pran then knocks out Anakin by hitting him with a wrench from behind, while Obi-Wan and Grecker are swarmed while fighting off the Fishers.
Dude, low-key, she could have fucking killed this
kid. She
could have
easily just...
I don't know if you saw the size of that wrench. It was huge. It's like the size of both of her arms.
A weapon.
I'm like, damn, you can murder this kid.
Yeah, Mother Pran and Kallura use a glider to escape the airship with Anakin, and then they fire on their own airship using mounted guns to destroy it and eliminate Obi-Wan, Anakin, and the Fisher swarm. Obi-Wan's dead!
No, Obi-Wan, Grecker, and the Fisher. They took Anakin.
Whatever.
They got him.
Is Obi-Wan dead? My point still
stands. Yes!
Oh my god.
I can't believe they killed him.
Killed him in a
How's he gonna come back in episode 3?
They killed him. How's he gonna come back in episode 2?
How's he gonna come back in the Clone Wars?
I don't know.
He's gonna come back for the Kenobi show.
I guess Ben was his twin all along.
Oh, dude, that makes a lot more sense, actually. I mean, somebody's gotta save Anakin and continue to be his master,
so
right?
It's his twin. It's Ben Kenobi. But he goes by Obi-Wan in honor of his dead brother.
Obi-Wan. It's like a clone story. He's got two eyes.
It's
at Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Obi-Ben Kenobi.
How about just Obi Kenobi?
Obi Kenobi? No, it's Obi-Ben Kenobi.
We cut the Wan.
The Wan becomes Ben.
How about just Wan Kenobi?
James Wan Kenobi. Director of horror movies.
Oh, man. Issue 4.
Yeah, man.
Mother Pran and Kallura flee the falling airship with Anakin, while Obi-Wan and Grecker leap from the side of the nearby to a nearby cliff. Fishers begin to swarm them again, and Greker tells Obi-Wan just to kill them, but Obi-Wan simply slices a nearby rock with his saber to show the Fishers what he's capable
he's
of,
badass.
And they back off. He's like, I literally have a sword that can cut you to pieces.
He's like, I'm badass.
And turn you to, like, ashes, yeah. So you probably don't want to mess with me. And they were like, ooh, you right.
And they're like, oof.
And they totally just run away.
Yeah.
Obi-Wan questions Greker where the two women might have taken Anakin, but Greker tells him he's unsure, as the Open have fortresses and caves all over the mountains above the Celadon Sea. Obi-Wan tells Greker he doesn't need to find him, however, stating Anakin has the coordinates of the distress call and he's confident he will meet him there. Obi-Wan then prepares to continue on his way alone, but Greker tags along and gives Obi-Wan a mask to survive the poison air of the sea, which would turn them into fishers, apparently.
Oh, cool.
That's pretty neat and horrible, right? Obi-Wan then questions Greker if it was truly the clothes that started the war, but Greker insists the Open were lying, at which point Obi-Wan questions further if it even matters, because he's like, does it matter?
He's like, who cares?
He's like, do you guys even, like, know who did it?
Your planet's dying and you're just being babies about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, for real, y'all being big bitches. So elsewhere, Mother Paran and Kalara return to the Open's home fortress in a cave on the side of one of the mountains, like Greker had said. Inside the fortress, Mother Paran inserts the central processing unit into a large weaponized mech droid, powering it up and giving hope to the Open people that they may win the war against the clones.
Oh shit, mechs!
Oh no, and she tells them they have Anakin to thank for it.
Yay, thank you, Anakin!
The Chosen One!
We'll tie you up to a post now!
Flamaica!
Flashing back again to Coruscant, this time Anakin is excitedly discussing with Palpatine in his office that they can finally out Senator Calandaris for his greed. So I'm likely thinking that at this point they probably did go back to the club, and Anakin probably did roll some chance cubes at that point. Because he's all excited about it. He's like, we can do it now! We did it!
No, he's saying, he's like, we look did at all it. The it's greed done. That he's just lost. We know he's corrupt.
They can finally out him. Palpatine, however, remarks that he cannot simply send the Jedi to arrest Calandaris, as he would be seen as no better than a dictator.
No better than a dick potato.
A penis potato. Yeah,
a penis potato.
Anakin then asks who can take care of these kinds of matters, but Palpatine offers little in the way of assurance. He then questions Anakin if he's happy at the temple, to which Anakin responds that he is. Yikes, but he's not.
Our PlayStation had a notification like, yours PlayStation's gonna shut off in 1 minute. I was like, I haven't saved my game.
I'm gonna turn
so
off.
I just ran away.
I've had enough of this. Palpatine, however, tells Anakin that he... should he ever want to leave the Jedi Order, he'd have a place at his side as a Senate guard, and continues to tell the young boy he could be a great use to him in the future.
As a Darth.
As a Darth boy. After this interaction...
He wouldn't be the Darth father, he'd be the Dark son.
I want to be the Dark boy.
After this interaction, Anakin and Obi-Wan are at the temple discussing Anakin's willful departure of the Jedi Order. Anakin explains the choice of his future is made for him when his mother and Qui-Gon decided it would be the best for him when he was only 9 years old. And it was simply his circumstance that allured him into the life of a Jedi. He was a slave living in sand. Why wouldn't he want to leave with a magic band and a laser sword and a starship?
Yep, that's basically what he says.
That's basically, like, word for word what he says, almost.
He's like, why wouldn't I want to go whisk away to this magical world when I'm in sand? Annie, you must live forever!
No, I'm good, bye.
Okay, you guys see you later.
No, I'm good. I'm tired of cleaning dirt out of your old machines.
I am it's sand.
You don't like it?
It's sand, not dirt.
It's dirty sand. He continues to explain that he needs to learn more, but not from the Jedi, then hands Obi-Wan his lightsaber. Anakin claims it doesn't have to be a permanent departure, but he feels the need to answer a call to action now, and he cannot wait. Obi-Wan accepts this and takes Anakin's saber from him. And that's the end of the flashback. Back in the present, Obi-Wan and Greker finally arrive at the location where the distress signal originated, in a decrepit ruin, and someone watches them through macro binoculars from a distance. Obi-Wan accuses Greker of knowing where the signal came from, claiming he recognized the willingness between the clones and the Open to work together when they learned of the distress call, but Greker protests he has no idea as everything on the planet is dead. So, I don't know shit. Obi-Wan refutes that point, however, when a number of large dragon lizard-like monsters appear before them. They're huge.
Yeah, big boys.
Greker fires
I wish
a
they were
flare.
Rancor dragons. That would have been awesome.
That would have been awesome.
Nice little Easter
nice
egg
call
right
that.
There, yeah.
Canonize them.
Yeah.
That would have been great. Greker fires a flare to signal for help, but is pulled into a nearby building by someone covering their face. When the mysterious stranger says they need to get to the Jedi too, Greker pulls a blaster on them, but is shot himself before he can do anything. Obi-Wan then enters the building and sees Greker shot dead, then he questions the stranger as to why they did it. Stranger simply states that they saved Obi-Wan by not letting the beast get him, as Greker wanted this. The stranger then takes Obi-Wan to a large hall filled with some of the planet's leftover artifacts and the like, and removes their hood to reveal they're an older woman named Sarah. Obi-Wan deduces Sarah has been setting up the boxes, and Sarah admits she's the one doing it to give hope to the people up high. She believes the Jedi have the power to bring the planet back together, and Obi-Wan cites he's already seen an instance of closed and open working together. Sarah states their willingness was to work together was born from a desire to kill her and end her work. Okay. She continues by stating the two factions wish to wipe out the history of the world before to cover up the failures they experienced. Sarah claims both factions only know war. So they're literally both to blame for this problem, and we are never actually given a definitive, this group is worse than this group answer.
They're both just stupid
idiots.
They're
both pretty terrible.
And they're trying to blame each other.
Yeah, it's just one of those very classic topical situations. It's
Ooh.
I'm not brave enough for politics.
Yeah, man.
Back in the open fortress, Mother Pran attempts to convince Anakin that Grecker turned on them and plans to kill Obi-Wan at the site of the distress call, so she needs to know where it is. Now! Tell me now! We're gonna save your man! Anakin tells Mother Pran, though, that he knows both her and Grecker were lying, but he tells her anyway, wanting to save his master. Mother Pran, however, leaves Anakin at the fortress and leaves with a number of the mechs to assault Sarah's hideout and destroy all she's collected. That's issue 4.
Yeah, dude.
It was a good one.
Yeah, this is a good, we're definitely getting to the end style issue here.
But it, like, doesn't feel rushed, you know? I think that each issue up until this point has felt relatively filled with something of substance, you know? Something that was actually interesting and worth giving a read.
Yeah.
So issue 5, let's jump into it. Anakin, tied up to a post, listens to the younger members of the Open alongside Kallara discuss that they feel they should do something to stop the adults from killing the scavenger, but they have no means of doing so. Kallara apologizes to Anakin, claiming Mother Pran is their leader and she couldn't disobey her. Anakin, though, instead questions Kallara about who the scavenger is, and she explains it's someone living in the Celadon Sea that collects beautiful things with seemingly no purpose and sends them up.
It's called art.
Anakin tells her that, yeah, exactly, it's art. He's like, it's not meaningless things, it's art. It's like nice stuff that people just make because it's nice.
Mm-hmm.
And comes to the realization the adults just want to perpetuate a cycle of war and not actually advance in their society.
War.
Yes. The reason they want the scavenger dead is to cover up the existence of anything beyond war. Anakin promises to help them fix their problems in their world, but he needs to be set free. Back with Sarah and Obi-Wan, the former explains to the latter that they used the technology in an old ship to send the distress call. Obi-Wan questions how Sarah managed to use a Jedi call, and the old woman pulls out a data pad with a black and white image of a Jedi, and here's Hunter's edition, definitely Revan. Can't tell us otherwise. Back to my stuff. Claiming at one point it was a color video with instruction, but has since broken like all else on the planet. She claims the power of the Jedi exhibited was unlike anything she'd ever seen before, and hoped the Jedi would come and kill the open and the closed,
it's 'cause it's Revan,
allowing her to teach the planet's youth. Obi-Wan, hearing the description of the Jedi's power and her hopes for what the Jedi would do, questions what the color of the Jedi's lightsaber was when it functioned as a colored video. And she states it was red.
It was red, of course.
Red, of course.
That's when Revan was a bad guy, acting as a bad guy.
Honestly, it could have been him.
It looks so
during
like
the
Revan.
Mandalorian
yeah,
Wars.
It looks like Revan.
They don't show you a face.
They show you, like, the robes
they show
he's wearing.
You,
it kind of looks
got
like Revan's robes.
You know, the lightsaber doesn't look exactly like, but there's still some room there because Revan wasn't considered canon anymore at this point. This very well could have been a way for the illustrator and the writer to be like, we want to have a Revan nod.
I ended up looking it up, and a lot of people were like, it's never specified, Charles Soule never answers us, but the fans were like, it looks like Revan, so if you want to believe it's Revan, you can. So, it is.
I don't want to believe it's Revan.
It is.
Especially because KOTOR's getting a remake now.
Exactly.
It's not going to be canon as fuck.
It's canon, baby. We'll ask Charles Soule.
Disney doesn't make non-canon stuff.
Exactly.
No, they only make good stuff.
Good's an objective word.
Obi-Wan, so before Obi-Wan has a chance to explain what Sarah truly saw, the clothes show up and prepare to lay siege on Sarah's hideout, called out by Grecker's flare. Obi-Wan and Sarah reach the roof of the hideout and see the clothes in force, at which point Sarah tells the Jedi to go and kill the clothes.
Go get that guy.
He's like, go kill them all. He's like, go. And Obi-Wan tells her, however, the Jedi are more inclined to spare people if and when at all possible. Obi-Wan descends before the clothes to speak with them, but a wounded Grecker reveals he's not dead. He tells his companions to kill the Jedi and the scavenger. Obi-Wan attempts to deflect the hail of bullets, but finds himself outmatched. Just as he's about to be shot, the Open arrive with their mechs and begin firing on the clothes.
A big old mech war.
And the clothes, like, shit themselves.
Oh, this is,
they only have airships. They don't have mechs.
Yeah, here
and
we
they're
go.
Like, where the fuck did you guys get
and
mechs?
They're like Anakin. So here it is. Obi-Wan attempts to deflect the hail of bullets, but finds himself outmatched. This is really cool, because when he cuts them, because they're not lasers,
yeah,
they actually melt and hurt him. Like
I saw that.
Really
that
cool.
was really sick.
And he goes, oh, Yeah. I was like, that's awesome. Like, you know, because them deflecting lasers is just beams of light.
Yeah, they usually just bounce off.
But he's cutting these metal bullets with a laser sword. So, of course, they'd be melted, molten, hitting it.
Yeah, it's molten cool pieces little, flying out.
Nice little nod.
That was pretty sick. I wish we got to see more stuff like that.
Because when they're using the primitive really guns, I'm like, yo, are these going to shoot lasers? Are going to shoot bullets?
I don't think we've ever seen somebody shoot a Jedi in a movie with an actual bullet.
Nope.
Yeah.
It was just this, and I thought that was really cool.
That is pretty sick.
Because like, it would make sense that it would melt. That's how you stop the Jedi. You shoot them with real guns.
Shoot them with actual weapons.
Yeah.
Like a Gatling gun, because they can only deflect a few of those before the molten shrapnel just kills them.
Exactly.
It's like heading through a field. It's not all going to get destroyed. Yep. But, yeah, I mean, that is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Where was I?
Obi-Wan is able to convince
Grecker. Right. Obi-Wan is able to convince Grecker that the scavenger is trying to save the world and call off his allies. But before Grecker can finish refuting Obi-Wan, he's blown away by one of the mechs. Yep. Bye, Grecker.
Bye-bye.
Obi-Wan then makes eye contact with Mother Pran and asks where Anakin is, but she takes another shot directly at him. Just that moment, Anakin swoops in on a speeder he claims to have built.
Yep, because he could.
And he tells his master he also brought Kallara and the rest of the young open to try and convince the adults to stop the fighting. The young open questions Sarah's motives for sending the boxes up, and she tells them she'd hoped to rebuild the planet with the young people, but she believes it's all for nothing now and blames Obi-Wan for leading both factions to her door to kill her. She's like, these fucking goddamn Jedi, I thought they would help me, but they suck.
She's like, we tried.
She claims even if he brought all of the Jedi here to kill the open and the closed, it would still be too late. Hearing this, Anakin asks why Sarah thinks the Jedi are killers, and Obi-Wan takes Anakin down to the hall filled with the old world's artifacts. Sarah hopes that the open and the closed will just kill each other, but Kallara protests the younger generation doesn't want their people to just die. Mm-hmm. So Kallara and the others get into the ships and they fly into battle, leaving Sarah in astonishment, and she would have expected the youth would want an end to the fighting. In the hall, Obi-Wan brings Anakin to a broken communications unit and asks them to fix it so they may change the system they spoke of at the beginning of this story. Mm-hmm. The fighting outside continues until the skies part and a fleet of Republic ships descends, calling for an immediate ceasefire.
They're like, stop or we'll shoot you.
Yeah, they're like, we will kill you, like, just straight up, because we have real weapons with, like, blasters. Anakin asks how his master got the Republic to come to a world they didn't care about, and Obi-Wan claims he told the Republic there was an abundance of Tabana gas in the atmosphere, a resource they'd want to secure.
Because they want to throw mustard gas at their enemies.
Yeah. I think it's a fuel source.
Yeah, it might be.
I think that's what it is. I think it fuels hyperspace travel. Mm-hmm. He continues to say the Republic will take time to conduct their surveys, and in that time, the hostilities will be forced to stop, hopefully giving the planet its people a chance to recover.
Or he just lied to them.
He did lie to them. That's exactly what happened. That's actually what Anakin talks about.
Oh, okay.
Anakin, again, is surprised the Republic believed him without any proof, and Obi-Wan explains it's the call of the Jedi that brought him here, and being a Jedi means being part of something bigger, and it's a part of the Order that gives you more strength than you'd ever have alone. Obi-Wan, having retrieved Anakin's lightsaber, offers it to him again. Yeah, I don't even think they showed it.
I guess thrown out of a moving airship window, and Obi-Wan's like, I found it.
I mean, they legit crashed in that airship, like, a minute later.
Yeah, but, like,
so for me, it's not too hard to believe that Obi-Wan would be like...
But, like, where did it crash, like, immediately? Right down, or did it, like, careen off? It's an airship. It would, like...
I don't know. A lot of that stuff isn't drawn too well, like, to show you exactly the exact... But it all looks really nice. So we go to one last flashback at the Jedi Temple, literally just prior to the mission.
Here it is.
And it shows Obi-Wan and Yoda discussing Anakin's desire to depart the Order. Obi-Wan blames himself, feeling he's the one who pushed Anakin away, and he expresses he feels Anakin should be with him and in the Order. Yoda asks what he would do if Anakin left. He questions if he would break his promise to Qui-Gon, but Obi-Wan commits to the idea he would also leave the Order.
Which is so cool.
Yeah, it is cool, because he wants to ensure Anakin's training would get completed and that he'd never fall to the dark side.
And then Yoda's like, but the Force is only for the Jedi.
What irony. And to think, actually, and I actually had a thought about this after, that if Anakin had left the Order and Obi-Wan had gone with him, I think that they would have stood a much larger chance of Anakin not falling to the dark side.
Because he wouldn't have been tempted by Palpatine in the last, like, 20 years.
He would have been like, oh, I want to go to Palpatine. But Obi-Wan would be like, Anakin, I understand what you want to do, but we have to do... If we're leaving the Order, we have a lot more freedom now to do things a different way. We're going to do things that way. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, we're not going to stay here.
They would basically just become mercenaries.
Palpatine would literally go to the temple that Monday, and he'd be like, oh, where's Anakin? I would very much like to speak to him. And Yoda would be like, quit, they both did, left the planet. know where they are.
And then
I do not.
He would send Jango and he'd after be like, them. And then Jango would get killed by Obi-Wan Kenobi. They wouldn't find out about the Clone Wars. The clones would just show up at one of the fucking movies. And then Palpatine would rule the galaxy faster. But Obi-Wan and Anakin would be mercenaries.
Could have been a much different story.
Similar to your character from 5e.
Unless Obi-Wan just got killed by one of the bounty hunters.
Nah, and they were
Obi-Wan's
like, too good.
And they're like knocking out Anakin.
You get killed by Reiko Hardy.
But then again, Anakin would probably lose his business and actually kill the bounty hunter. So
yeah, he'd become Darth Vader earlier if he got killed.
So he makes the promise that he would also leave the Order so that he can hang out with Anakin. Back on Carnelian, Obi-Wan asks if Anakin will walk his path alone, but Anakin takes his saber and responds he'll walk his path as a Jedi as long as Obi-Wan shows him the way.
Aww.
And that is the whole comic, and it is a very awesome story.
Very bueno.
I loved it. I loved everything about it. It
good was stuff, man.
Fantasmic.
Phantasma.
Very, very good. I mean, obviously, like I said at the beginning, there's the whole thing with just the relationship between Obi-Wan and Anakin. I love being able to dive more and more into that. And
you don't really
makes,
get a lot of it besides the movies, which sucks because it's like the best relationship in Star Wars.
Well, it's also every time we get something like this, right? A story where it kind of shows you how much Anakin looked up to Obi-Wan at one point, right? And even in Revenge of the Sith, there were elements where he really looked up to him still. It really puts a lot more poignance on that moment where they have to fight each other in that last battle.
Yep.
And for me, like a lot of people, they watch that fight and they're like, oh, this is cool. Like, for me, it's like an emotional thing watching them because I can think about, like, imagine being in this situation with someone who is like this to you, right?
Yeah, like your
dad. Like, I almost put myself in that kind of situation where how would I feel if I was Obi-Wan right now? How would I feel if I was Anakin right now?
Yeah.
Like, just the emotions that would be flaring up in a time like that. And again, stories like this, they really help dive into that and they shine more light on it and they just make the story so much more rich and they give it more than I think a lot of other mediums tend to offer.
Oh, for sure.
So, I mean, that's really all I have to say on the comic. You got any closing thoughts on it?
Closing thoughts. It's definitely one of the better Marvel comics that they've put out, at least in the prequel era timeline.
Mm-hmm.
The prequel books, they really only did like 5 or 6 of them besides Son of Dathomir, which was readapted into it. It's just, I wish they did more in that. We got Republic heroes and villains. Then we got Mace Windu, Darth Maul, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and I think there's one other one. I think Jedi Fallen Order technically counts. Oh, and then Kanan. Kanan's in the timeline, too. It just sucks that we, in such a vast area, yes, the timeline is so small and Clone Wars makes up for a lot of it, but there's still a lot of books we could have done. Especially when we did the Mace Windu episode. Why call it Mace Windu Jedi of the Republic if you weren't going to be more Jedi of the Republic? Exactly. Just call it Star Wars Mace Windu. Like, hey, did Star Wars Obi-Wan Kenobi or Star Wars Han Solo. It wasn't Star Wars Jedis of the Republic, yeah, Obi-Wan and Anakin. It was Star Wars Obi-Wan and Anakin.
Yeah, this would have been a lot better, I think, if it fell into that series. Yeah. And I think it would have given a lot more oomph to that series that it would have desperately needed.
Instead of just calling it Obi-Wan and Anakin.
Mm-hmm.
I think them not doing that kind of...
Because even looking for this comic, like, if you try to just Google the name of this comic, it just doesn't come up.
Yeah, you have to actually, like, type in Marvel Star Wars Obi-Wan and Anakin. If you have an Obi-Wan and Anakin, it's like, do you want this? And you're like, what?
Yeah. What's what? Make sure I'm not getting towed away. I don't know.
No, they don't tow over here.
Loki enforcing that sign still.
No. All good. You know, so I wish we got more of that stuff in this comic timeline because, like I said, a lot of it's just really, really cool. It just sucks it gets dicked on.
Yeah. I mean, at least we get what we get and we have what we have, and there's always room for more stories to be written, so.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing what comes next, you know?
Yeah, hopefully we get some good stuff. I think next is actually Son of Dathomir.
Is that what we want to do next week?
I believe, because that takes...
I think we said we were going to do Rebels.
No, I just mean that's the next Marvel book.
Yeah.
Yeah, or Kanan, I forget exactly where Son of Dathomir fits, because he has the Darksaber, but where's Kanan?
Son of Dathomir is at the end of Clone Wars season 5 or 6,
right? Yeah, so it's going to be Dathomir, then it's going to be... Kanan.
Son of Dathomir, then Kanan, because Kanan starts during Order 66,
yes,
right?
Yeah, that's when the book is. So, yeah, we're going to probably cover Rebels Season 3 and 4, and then we're going to do Tales of the Jedi, Golden Age of the Sith, I think that's what I said.
Okay.
And then we'll cover a Marvel book or something.
Whatever it is. I mean, I don't think anybody who listens to the show is overly picky about the release order of our content.
No, I just like to make sure we have like something in our brains so then we actually like do the homework that we're assigned. You
know? I always do my homework.
I do it, but sometimes I do it last minute if I forget. I mean, I'm ahead on Rebels because I watched it for the first time and I finished it. You had to
I still got to play the catch-up game on Rebels.
It's all good, man. You've already watched it once, so it's not like you're...
I did. I've seen it twice now that I think about it. This is actually my third time.
Wow.
It's just... I don't really remember it a lot because I feel like I'm not always paying attention to it because there's stuff in it that's like a...
There's a lot of bad episodes, honestly.
It's like, okay.
A lot of very mid stuff.
Sorry, you're just mid Rebels.
Nah, Rebels is top tier, but it's got some mid episodes, just like Clone Wars.
Rebels top is mid.
All right, thank you guys for listening. You can follow the podcast at Farthest Galaxy on Instagram to keep up to date with the episodes as they release and what we will be covering. You can follow me, Hunter, at Scruffy Moose Man, and Alex at The Dude Kenobi. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share with a friend.
Oh, yeah, and may the Force be with you.
And also with you. Most impressive.